B-Pod Studios.
Let's bring on the man. Yes, he lit it up again. He called the Sixers the dumbest organization in basketball. Let's bring him in. Special day. Sharing a microphone with the great Brian Westbrook is the great Charles Barkley. Chuck, what's up?
I'm good, man. Hey, you know, Westbrook is my guy, man. He's one of the greatest ever, man. Hello.
Thank you, Charles. Appreciate it, man. No. You're the greatest ever. I tell you, every time I talk to Charles and I see him, there's always love. And there, from me to him, there's always admiration because he is the greatest ever, especially here in Philadelphia. So, special moment to have Charles on the air.
Here's the thing about Barkley. You got to admit, Brian, everything the guy says makes national news.
That's right.
Right? Again, you made national news again last night. You said the Sixers were crazy for playing Embiid. Talk to me.
Well, he's their franchise player. The guy's limping up and down the floor. I just thank goodness he didn't get hurt. I mean, why would you take a chance with your franchise player who's injury prone? And he clearly was laboring. He didn't get hurt. Thank goodness for that. But I don't understand why you would even take that chance. And Brian knows this. You never ask a player if he can play. You know, you never ask the player. The coach has to make a decision. The player always going to try to play. Like I said, the good thing about it, he didn't get hurt. But I don't even understand why the Sixers are even taking that chance with him.
Well, let me give you the other side of that. Because they had to make a statement last night, right? In town, we're wondering whether they're good enough to play these teams that are atop the East. And I don't know how you feel about it, but Indiana was one of those teams that people were saying, are they as good as Indiana? I think they wanted to make a statement last night and beat that team. Now, when you measure that, the statement against his health, where do you come out, Charles?
Well, as I said last night, I have never mentioned Indiana as a – like Ernie asked me last night, why don't we ever mention Indiana? Because they're not a contender. It's Toronto, the Sixers, the Celtics, and Milwaukee. There's four legitimate teams in the Eastern Conference. It's going to come down to those four. That's the bottom line. Listen, like I say, I haven't mentioned Indiana all year. They got a good team. McMillan's done a good job. But the Sixers went in there and beat them by 20. But that's not the Celtics, Toronto, or Milwaukee. That's who the Sixers don't have to beat to get to the finals. Plain and simple.
So you would have given up that game last night. Wouldn't it matter to you? You lose to Indiana because you can beat them anyway.
You can beat Indiana, but like I said, you don't take a chance. Because listen, anybody, and Brian knows this, man, if you got back problems, mm-hmm. What's eventually going to happen, you're going to hurt one of your legs, whether it's a knee or an ankle, because your body automatically is going to overcompensate. And like I say, you got a guy who's a franchise player, a great player too. And I'm not taking a chance in January with a franchise player. That doesn't make any sense whatsoever to me. That's why I criticize the Sixers.
One of the things, Charles, and I think you made a good point when you say the player will always say that he's ready to go. And so at some point, the coach has to step in and say, all right, yeah, you may think that you're ready to go, but we're still going to hold you. At what point is Brett Brown, I mean, what type of responsibility does he have to say, I know you want to play MB, but you're just not playing tonight. Well, where is his responsibility in the whole playing with the back injury type of deal?
Well, I agree with you. He has to make that decision. But also, he got to tell Jimmy Butler to shut the hell up and quit complaining, too. You know, I love Brett Brown. He's done a fantastic job. But he's such a nice guy. I wouldn't let Jimmy Butler come out and say, hey, I don't like the way our offense is running. Because, listen, man, we bought you here. Shut the hell up and play. These are our two franchise guys. You're going to be our third guy. Third guy doesn't get to speak. We only listen to the president and the vice president.
But hold on. They got to re-sign him, Chuck. They can't treat him that way.
Well, is he going to complain the whole time about not getting shots? Because Ben and Joel Embiid ain't going anywhere.
Well, you don't think he had any merit? He wasn't getting enough shots.
Well, first of all, I hate when guys complain. First of all, I've been in gym. First of all, I'm a better player than Jimmy Butler. Don't get me wrong, but I've been on a crappy team where I got all the shots. When I got traded to a good team, I got less shots, but we actually won games. That happens when you play. Yeah, when you're playing for the Bulls, you get every shot. Cause y'all suck. When you go to the Minnesota Timberwolves, yeah, you get every shot. Cause y'all suck. When you go play with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons. and J.J. Redick, you're going to get less shots. But I guarantee you're going to win a lot more games.
Hold on. How many less shots did you ever get?
When I got traded for Phoenix, I got less shots. So we had Dan Marley and Kevin Johnson. But we actually won. We made it to the finals. That's what happens when you play with better players.
I got to check this out, how many less shots you got at Phoenix, man, because I don't know about that. Let's talk about the other. First of all, I want to get your opinion on the Eagles. But when you look at the Sixers right now, do you believe they need more to compete with those teams you were talking about earlier, Toronto's and Boston's?
I think they probably need one more shooter. I believe that. I think it's up for grabs in the East. I think there are four teams. But I don't think any of those teams. The Sixers problem. Think about it. They're going to have either the first. Think about it. When they play Toronto, other than Kawhi Leonard, they probably got the next three best players in the game. After if they play Milwaukee, after Giannis, they probably got the three best players. Think about that. After Kyrie, they probably got the three best players. I mean, think about what I just said, Mike. They don't have the three best players. After, like I said, if you take away those three players I mentioned, they got a really good chance of winning the Eastern Conference. Nobody else can say that. Nobody else can say of those teams I just mentioned, if you take away the star player, they got the three best next players. I mean, so the Sixers got a good shot. I think they need one more shooter. I really do. But like I say, I'll take my chances with them right now on winning the Eastern Conference right now.
Wow. All right.
That's huge.
I'm looking at, you know, you see how weak their bench is, though, right now. So you're talking about when they add that one other player, that makes them better. Not like right now, right?
Yeah, I would like to see them add one more guy. So they need to be deeper. But like I say, those other three teams, they're good teams, but they don't scare you. But like I say, I would like to see them add one more bench guy. That would be my preference.
Charles, quick question, and I've had this argument with a lot of different people, and it centers around the Sixers, but it certainly is about the NBA. And now we're seeing it, it's a guards league. We're talking about 1, 2, and 3 positions. Of course, we have the stress fours at all. And Philly, we're centered around a big man, Joel Embiid. How do you think that matches up in the finals, in the playoffs, when the up and down pace gets to the Sixers? We saw what happened last year against the Celtics. They're up and down the floor, and Embiid got tired, fatigued, especially in that playoff series. How do they fare in the playoff type of situation when it's a 7-game series where teams want to run up and down the court, and Embiid has to do that consistently night after night?
Well, I think he'll be fine. I think his condition has been getting better. I think he realized that last year. But also, the key to me is going to be Ben Simmons. Now, we actually had a conversation about Ben Simmons last night because I corrected Shaq, and Kenny agreed with me. He says, we're talking about Ben. And Shaq says, Ben can be a great player not being able to shoot. And I said, that's not true. Ben Simmons can be a good player. But until he learns to shoot better, that's when he's become a great player and a superstar. Listen, he's so talented, he's going to be a good player, probably an all-star. But before he can be a great player, he's going to have to learn how to shoot the ball better. But to pick it back on your point, Brian, Joel Embiid is so good inside. You can't guard him with one guy, so he's going to make the guys around him better. That's why I think the Sixers need another shooter. But you're going to have to double him because he's either going to score, get a good shot, or he's going to get somebody in foul trouble. Because he's so massive, you can't guard him in the post with one guy. Mm-hmm. And I've actually criticized him at times. I think sometimes he spends too much time on the perimeter. Every time he shoots a three, he helps the defense. But they don't want to wrestle this big behind down on the box.
Yeah, he's saving his energy. He saves his energy a lot.
You're right. He's resting when he shoots those threes. But listen, the guy's unguardable, and the Sixers going to be a handful. I would still like to see him get one more shooter. But man, they got a really good shot at winning the East.
I got to ask you about Ben Simmons again, because if you're on the floor, he's just unwilling to shoot the ball, which is maddening. Now, if you're playing with a guy like that, I know you'd probably be pretty outspoken about demanding that he shoot the ball. What should they do about this? He just won't shoot it.
Well, I think that's when Brett Brown or Jimmy Butler got to take the reins. You know, I played with guys when I was getting double. I played with guys who would miss some shots and stop shooting, and I would curse them out like a dog. I said, "Yo, man, I don't care how many you miss. You got to keep the defense honest. That's what it's really about. That's what happened to Ben last year in the playoffs. The Celtics like, no, you're gonna have to shoot the ball. So you can't wait till the playoffs if you ain't shot the ball in the first 82 regular season games. So it's up to Joel." And Brett Brown and Jimmy Butler and JJ too. Say, man, yo, man, you got to shoot. First of all, I personally would make him shoot 100 jump shots every day after practice or before practice.
I think he does that, though, Charles. He does all that stuff.
It's a mental thing. You have to want to take the shot. He
just won't pull the trigger on it. Why do you think that is?
He don't have confidence. It's very simple. Right, he doesn't have confidence in that jump shot. But like I say, he's never going to have confidence unless he's judging every single day. The coach got to stay on his behind, and that's all you can do.
But, Charles, with that same thought in mind, I mean, he's, what, 21, 22 years old? What has he been doing the last 18 years of his life that he hasn't developed a jump shot yet? He's obviously been in the gym. He obviously has a skill set to be the number one pick overall in a high school All-American and this, that, and the other. But how is it that he still hasn't developed that shot at this point in his life, in his career?
Because he's always been better than everybody else. You don't really start playing against people as good as you until you get to the NBA. I use myself as an example. In high school, I probably only played against two players in 2 years that were on my skill level. And probably in college, we didn't play North Carolina, We didn't play Duke, North Carolina, Kansas, UCLA back in the day. So in college, I probably only played against probably 5 to 10 players that were on my level in my 3 years of college. But then when you get to the NBA, everybody can play. So you can't out-talent people in the NBA. And first of all, the coaches are too good. That's why, during the regular season, they let Ben just get where he wants to. In the playoffs, they're like, no, you're going to have to shoot the ball because you're playing against better teams, better coaches. But the reason he's so great, that got him to the NBA. But like I say, he's never going to be a great player unless he learns how to shoot. He can be a good player, but he cannot be a great player, a superstar, until he learns to shoot the ball better.
All right, let me quickly go to the Eagles, because I haven't had a chance to talk to you since they lost that game. We're still talking about the Foles-Wentz thing here. Did the Eagles make the right decision? They said the other day, Wentz is their guy going forward. Would you have gone the other way?
Wow. I think that Mr. Lurie and Aaron Rosen, man, that's a huge decision, obviously. How old is Nick Foles?
29.
29, yep.
He's going to be 30 next week, I think, yeah.
And quarterbacks completed at 35, yep. 36, yep. 37
yeah,
years old.
Play. Yep.
Man, I might have to go with the young kid, because before he hurt his knee last year, he was going to be the MVP. Now, but this is 2 years in a row he's had season-ending injuries. So, like, man, that's a big deal.
I know you're a Foles guy. You love the way he played in these playoffs.
I love Nick Foles. He's been fantastic. But, man, if you trade away Carson, because you clearly can't keep them both. I mean, that's just no-brainer. But if you trade away Carson and he turns into the player that was going to be the MVP a year and a half ago, you're going to look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
I personally think, man, that's what these GMs get paid for. I'm not just a fan. I don't act like I'm a football expert. I'm probably going to go with the young guy.
All right. Okay. Now, speaking of football, you know, I'm asking you, who's Dr. F. Kings recommending you bet this weekend?
Mike, let me tell you something. My football has been so bad. I'm actually thinking about giving it up.
No!
Dude, I haven't won a game. Listen, I haven't won a game this playoffs.
Wow.
I mean, I'm on such a roll downhill. But you know what? First of all, I'm going to lick my wounds and I'll be ready to go by Sunday. But I have not won a game the entire playoffs. I'm not going to lie to you. I have missed every game.
Here's a hint for the playoff football in the NFL right now. Go with the home team. I mean, it's hard to go against the home team. Obviously, the Eagles were the only ones.
Well, we'll talk about that when it comes to Brady.
Okay.
But I know who you're going with.
Well, you already know.
Well, hey, Brian. First of all, you're wrong.
you just finished telling me that you don't know what you're talking about when it comes to playoff football.
Let me tell you, I had the Bears.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the Saints.
Well, the Saints won at home.
At home. I know, and they both lost.
No. The Saints won at home. And
you got to play.
Oh, you're talking about the points? Okay, the points.
You got to play the money line. Charles, a man of your wealth.
That's
a money line, man.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, there you have
it. Don't mess with points.
I did. I lost both of those games. So that home team thing didn't work.
Okay. Well, yeah, that's different. Okay, I'm with you.
Chuck, I got to tell you, the DraftKings commercials are hysterical. And you also did an episode of the Goldbergs this week. What was that about?
You know, I love the show. And it's so funny when I'm watching the show. They're talking about the kids grew up during my era. So everything and all the places they talk about, I knew all about him. And so I started watching the show when it first came on because what happened was they call every year and ask, can they use my picture in there? And I was like, of course, it's no big deal. So then I started watching the show and I love the show. And they asked me, would I do it? And I was like, of course, I'll make a cameo. And I had a blast.
Here you go. You are all over the place, man. It's amazing. And you know, I don't know how you feel about this guy, but I'm watching the kid from Duke, and I'm seeing College Charles. When I watch Zion Williamson, I see College Charles. Do you see that?
I think he's more explosive than I am. You know, first of all, I want to know what his official height is.
He's like 6'6", right? 6'7"?
Yeah. Well, they told me. You know, they told people I was 6'6", and I was only 6'5", and 6'4", and a half. So everybody in college lies about their height. So they say he's 6'7", which means to me he's 6'5", 6'6". But he's really explosive. You know, I got a couple questions about the NBA, what position he's going to play, whether he's a 3 or a 4. And that's going to be the biggest question mark about him. Because, you know, people say we play positionless basketball. That's actually true, but not true. Because he's going to be have to be able to guard a 3 or a 4.
Right.
Well, so listen, man, when I see him come down on a break, I say, that's all Burn Charles right there. He explodes like you did on a break.
Hard to stop him.
Well, yeah.
Well, I think he's a lot more explosive than I am. I think he's a hell of a talent. Like I say, I have concerns about him in the NBA because, like I say, I don't know what position.
Yeah, he doesn't shoot it well enough right now to determine where he's going to be.
Well, the thing that's interesting, I think it's going to be harder for him to play today than it would have been played in my day because he could have played in the post at 6'7", 6'8", because he's so athletic and physical. But in today's game, they're going to make him go out on the floor and guard those 3s and 4s. I think it would have been easy for him to play in my day, and it's going to be easier to play today's game where they just got a bunch of look guys running around out there shooting threes.
All right, listen, man, I got to get your prediction, even though you're in a slump for this weekend's games. You got the Chiefs are a 3-point favorite, and the Saints are a 3-point favorite. Who do you like?
I'm going to so now I'm going to listen to Mr. Westbrook on this one. I'm going with both home teams.
There you go.
All right. Are you copping out? All right.
We got to ask Charles about the Pacquiao fight this weekend. I know he's a big boxer fan
Pacquiao,
as well.
Yeah, Pacquiao.
Listen, I'm not even going to watch that scene. Stop it. That ain't even worth watching.
Adrian Bruner is back again.
Listen, man, I hate when guys are past their prime and just fighting because they need money.
Mm-hmm.
And that bothers me so much. Manny Pacquiao is one of the greatest ever. First of all, I don't know how in the hell he lost all that money. But
goes
the two guys just go out there and just still fighting way past their prime. I'm not even going to lie. I'm not even going to watch it.
There you go.
All right. Listen, Dr. F. Kings, thanks for coming on today. Continued success to you.
Brian, you know, I got number love, man. You're one of the greatest ever to do it in Philly. Mike, I'll see you this summer, my brother.
All right. You got it, bro.
Take care.
We'll talk to you.
All right, guys.
All right, there he is, Charles Barkley.
Doesn't get better than that.
No, that's cool.
No, doesn't get better than Charles.
Yeah, that's good.
I'll tell you my Charles Barkley story after the break.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We come back. We got to make our picks, too.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited about that.
I'm going against you, boy.
You're out of your mind.
I'm going against your boy.
And Patty Mahomes, you're out of your mind.
We'll see what happens. Mike Messinelli Show, Brian Westbrook is hanging with us till 5. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.